we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. If you're listening at 10:30, you're probably listening on WWBC 1510 AM, and I believe there's some other corresponding frequencies on the FM dial that you can get frequencies that you can pick up the stations on. I think 102.3, something like that. So if you don't find us in one spot, you need a little better signal, check out one of those other frequencies. But we're glad you're tuned in today, and we are just letting you know that tonight we do not have our Wednesday youth schedule because our kids are away at camp, and our older ones, and so we're not going to be having that meeting tonight. So anyway, now that we got you up to speed there, let's go back to Isaiah, the 25th chapter. Isaiah, the 25th chapter. We've been here this week, and I was looking through one of my study Bibles, and I want to bring up something back from verse number one that I saw in one of my study Bibles. Then we'll move on to the other passages here in Isaiah 25 we want to get to. In verse number one, it says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." And one of my study Bibles says that what that is talking about there is that your counsels of old are absolute truth. I know that they have, as far as thermally speaking, they have figured out what absolute zero is. And from television commercials, they're looking for absolute black or the perfect black. And when we are talking about truth, when you are looking at the things of God, when you are looking at his declarations and his decrees, what he counsels and what he advises, not only is it faithfulness and truth, but it's absolute truth. There is no variation. There's no shadow. There's no turning. It is absolute truth. When Jesus was on trial and he mentioned truth, Pilate said, "What is truth? What is truth?" And what he didn't realize was that truth was standing right in front of him. Today in America, we have greater access to the Word of God than we have ever had before. You can find it in multitudes of translations. You can find it in pocket version Bibles. You can get it on your smartphone. I happen to be looking at a Super Giant print Bible here. I didn't get that when I got that before my retina detached. I got it simply because when I'm preaching, I like to make eye contact with the congregation. And so I got it so I could know exactly where to look on the page. I wouldn't have to be microscopically looking through the real fine print to find exactly the verse I was looking for. So we have the Word of God, and yet with all of that availability, people are trying to water down, redefine, or partially appropriate the truth. And God is interested in absolute truth. And so I encourage you. We talked about on yesterday's program that he is that strong people will glorify him because he has been strength to the poor, strength to the needy is in his distress, a refuge in the storm, and a shade from the heat. Let's drop down to verse number six, and let's begin our reading there today. "And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all the people and the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And so, as Isaiah has begun this prophecy, and he's talked about the importance of praising him, and that strong people will glorify him and the nations would stand in awe in him, it begins to talk about this celebration that God has planned. Now, I think that when we look at this, we need to look at this with an eternal mindset, not an actual, you know, what's going to be at the banquet hall. I just want you to see God's heart when he throws a celebration. When I read through the Old Testament feast, there's one translation, and it calls them celebrations. You and I, we need to have the understanding that heaven is going to be a place of great, great celebration, of triumph over sin, sickness, death, hell, and the grave. God plans on throwing this tremendous feast. And it says, the Lord of hosts will make a feast for all people, a feast of choice pieces of wines on the lees. And what these terms are being used to describe is the best of the best. God wants to give to you and I the best of the best. And, you know, when I see things like this, a well-refined wines on the lees, the grapes and all of those sorts of things that it's talked about, the choice pieces at the feast. When I see all of that, and then I see the mindset that we humans tend to have of giving God the least that we can give him, I see a completely and totally different heart. And so I want to ask you today to examine the nature of your giving. I'm not putting a dollar value on it. I want to get to the heart of the matter, and that is this. Do you give God your leftovers, or do you give him your best? Or do you want to give him your best? You see, there's a mindset out there that many people in the world have, and it's an immature mindset. It tends to show up in younger people, and then they just end up kicking the can and kicking the can and kicking the can and hoping that they don't kick it too far down the road and miss their opportunity. But the mindset is this, that I'm going to go out and I'm going to have all of the fun that I want. I'm going to live the way that I want. And when I'm done sowing all of that bad seed, then I'm going to come to God and I'm going to give him what's left. And hopefully there will be very little left to give. That is the mindset. And God, on the other hand, is got this tremendous mindset that he wants to provide for you and I the very best of the best. The best meat, the best drink, things that were set aside for him. If you look in the Old Testament at the sacrifices, the fat belonged to God. When they would offer a sacrifice, the fat was to be given to God. It belonged to him. And here in Isaiah chapter 25, it says, of fat things full of marrow. I was at a dinner one time, and a friend of mine ordered a dish, and I might not get this name right, of osso buco, something like that. He's Italian, and there's a bunch of different varieties, and this is something, I believe this was a pork shank or something like that, and the marrow was still in this dish. And he said, now listen, I'm Italian, and he actually asked for a straw, because he said, listen, this is the best part. Now I didn't sample this, don't want to, but he said, this is the best of the best. And God says, I'm going to take that which belonged to me, and I'm going to celebrate this feast, the best of the wine, the best of the meats, the things that are just full of goodness. That's what God wants to provide for you and I. Now, what does that look like? It involves him not only providing the sustenance, but providing the right atmosphere. Providing the right atmosphere. Look at verse number 7. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people. Now, just stop right there. Don't read any further. Because it describes here that this is not just in the heart of God for the Jewish people, but it is in the heart of God to provide this for everyone. And it describes here that there is a surface that is covering, the surface of the covering cast over all people. What is it that it doesn't matter if you are from any region of the world in particular, what is it that affects everybody? It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Listen to what it says. And the veil that is spread over all nations, he will swallow up death forever. Again, in that study Bible, it said that the ancient people viewed death as this all-consuming thing, that it touched everybody, it touched all people. Sooner or later, you were going to lose that battle with death. It consumed everything and yet was never full. And here Isaiah prophesies that God's intent is to swallow up death forever. And it describes that it was going to take place on this mountain. And so you and I, we can now look back through our rearview mirror that I was talking about on one of the earlier broadcasts and see that death was swallowed up when Jesus gave his life on Calvary. You look in Revelation and you will see that Jesus now holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Blessed is the man whom this second death does not touch, does not affect. And so you and I, today we can see that because God provided his best, we are told, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we look at Calvary and we see that there, God didn't just provide the best meat. He didn't just provide the best to drink. He provided the best sacrifice, the best offering that could ever have been given. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He swallowed up death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? It has been swallowed up forever. And it says that there. He will swallow up death forever. That means it has lost its power over you and I. See, we no longer fear what the grave holds because we know who holds life after the grave. I've got kind of this witty, you know, vivid imagination. And I picture that when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, unbeknownst to the casket manufacturer, your casket is equipped with a spiritual ejector seat that when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, bam, there we go. There we go. Death will not be able to control you. It might be able to touch us for a moment, but it cannot control. Death is a word that simply means separation. He will swallow up separation forever. And so I want you to see that he has done this with the intent of it being for all people and for all nations or all people groups. So you and I, we have to decide, what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with this lavish offering that God has given to us? Listen, it continues to get better. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. God will wipe away tears from all faces. I don't do a whole lot of crying anymore. I used to cry when I was a kid, I cried quite a bit. I was small, I was tiny, and things hurt. And then I went through a season where I didn't cry at all. And I said, God, I don't want to be callous. I don't want to be emotionless. And he allowed me to experience the tears of joy. I like those. This is talking about that he is going to wipe away the tears, the pain, the source of the pain, and the manifestation of the pain of being separated from his presence. You know, I don't like it when someone is mad at me. I don't take a lot of pleasure in that. So I've always gone out of my way to try and do my part to make sure that no one got mad at me. Now, people still get mad at me. I'm not saying that I'm going to sacrifice my principles just to keep someone from being upset. That's not going to happen. Absolute truth is absolute truth, whether it makes you upset or not. But it says here that God's going to wipe away all tears from all faces. And so I want you to see that when we get to heaven, it's not going to be a place of sorrow. It's going to be a place of celebration. It's going to be a place of feasting. It says that the reason that all of this stuff is going to take place is because the Lord has spoken. If you don't know what God has said, then you don't know what the future holds. So when I look at the future, when I look at the future of America, I don't necessarily see a grand, bright, and glorious future right now. I'll be honest with you. I see America giving God their least and expecting his best. I see people living in deception and corruption and unjust standards and all sorts of things going on and expecting that they're going to get preferential treatment from God. And the reality is God treats everybody the same, whether you're a king or whether you're a pauper. Everything has to, not with the lip service that you offer to him, but with the attitude of the heart. Where is your heart when it comes to Jesus? And are you living out the principles? And so when I see the gamesmanship of politics and the deception of politics and all of that sort of stuff, I don't put my trust in any of that stuff anymore. I just don't. I've got to look to a higher standard. I've got to look beyond what is in store from man's perspective, and I've got to look at what God has in store. And so I have a wonderful eternity that I can picture, a place where there's no sorrow and there's no death and there is no lack, because God gives us his very best. So if you believe that about your eternity, why not allow him to take you to the next dimension of faith and believe him for his best now, that he can be your source of joy now, that he can remove the sting of death now, that I'm not saying that you would never die, because Hebrews chapter 11 says these all died in faith. That's the way that I want to die. I don't want to die. Well, I don't really want to die. I want to be alive for the rapture to come back, if that's okay with you. That's my first choice. But I know this, that outside of that, it's appointed for every person, Pastor Bob included, that there's going to come a day where this body takes its last breath. The one thing that I've had some conversations with people of late, and they said, as I'm getting older, I end up getting a little more fatigued. I can't do all of the things that I used to. And there's a reason why this mortal body is going to put on immortality, because this mortal body will wear out, but an immortal body will not. There's a corruptible body down here that can be altered, but there's an incorruptible body that God wants to provide for us that cannot be tainted. So that's what God has for us. Let's look at verse number 9. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now, the thing that I want you to see is verse number one says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. It starts off as just a personal, isolated declaration of praise and that Isaiah would exalt him. But here in verse number nine, it says that in that day, he is not going to be referred to as my God, but he is going to be referred to as our God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. The disciples had come to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And he said, this is the way you should pray, our Father. And here Isaiah is saying, it is not this, the goodness of God is not going to be able to be contained into just an isolated personal encounter, but it is going to grow into a declaration that it is not just an isolated individual, but that it is a corporate declaration. Our God, you are our God. And remember, this is designed to touch all peoples and all nations. And it says here, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So, there is this waiting aspect, and there is a waiting with an expectation. That's what I want to talk to you about is you and I, we need to have a not a mindset where we're just sitting around taking in oxygen and existing. That's not waiting. If I have a waiter or a waitress that is taking care of me at a restaurant, and all they're doing is sitting there waiting for something to happen, that's not what I think their job is. I think their job is to make sure that whatever is needed at the table they have been assigned, that they're doing their best to make sure that that is taken care of. And a really good waiter or waitress will take care, will see the need before the need is mentioned, and they will have the provision there before the need has ever fully manifested itself. They won't have to wait to be told. You want to make yourself stand out at work? You start doing the things that need to be done without having to be told. And I guarantee you, because I've been in management, in secular and in church, you start doing what is necessary without having to be told, and it speaks volumes. We have waited for him and he will save us. We have been looking for him. He will save us. Never forget that the primary business that God is in is the redemption business. He's in the redemption business. I have a minister that I know, and he says, he's actually written a book, Why Are Some Churches Blessed? And he says, your church cannot afford not to be involved in missions, because missions is the heart of God. It is the redemption business, and God is in the redemption business. And I want you to know, he's not just foreign missions. He's, you know, community missions and national missions here in the United States and global missions. God is looking to bring salvation. What is it that will happen if you and I adopt this mindset? God, we're going to wait for you. A waiter or a waitress that I have, that I might have at a restaurant, they are there. They are doing what they have been assigned to do, and they're doing it with passion. Listen, my tipping is not absolute. It can be minimal or it can be pretty generous depending upon the attitude of the server. And the server knows that there is something good. I remember having dinner with a person one time, and they were, let's see, how would I describe it? They were really, really rich, multimillionaires. And we were having dinner with them, and they said, "Now, I don't know how many tables you've been assigned, but I want you to know that if you will take really good care of us, I tip really, really well." What happens when we wait upon God is we get to experience His salvation and His deliverance. Today, if you have not experienced the joy of the Lord, I encourage you, get into His Word, get into His presence, find out where He wants you to be, what He wants you. I just read in my devotions a couple of weeks ago about the gift of repentance. It is God's generous gift to us. It goes on and say, "This the Lord, we have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." It's Wednesday. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you work, but I can tell you this. There are too many miserable people wherever you're at. Too many. You don't need to be one of them. If you have been saved, if you have been redeemed by the Lamb, then allow the joy of the Lord and the strength that comes from abiding in His presence fill your heart and fill your soul. Allow it to be manifest. Be glad today. Whatever problems you've got, whatever bills you have, all of that stuff, it has an expiration date on it. Rejoice in the salvation that God has for you. He will save us, and I'm going to start rejoicing before I ever get to that point. Rejoice in the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What do you say? How about putting a smile on your face? Because that burden of sin, all of those grievous, horrendous sins that we committed against Him, they were wiped away by the blood. We can rejoice because He's going to swallow up death. He will wipe away the tears from our eyes. We have very good reason to rejoice. Father, today we rejoice in our God. We rejoice in His salvation, and we give glory to Your name. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."